Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And today is the day after Pi Day, March 15th, 2022.
You know, I was wondering why people were putting that whole long string on Twitter. I was like, what's happening? I didn't really understand it.
3.14, yeah, 15, right, blah, right. blah, it goes on and on.
On and on, exactly. So I got to tell you, at least the markets have been fun, if nothing else. We have a technical term for what's going on right now.
It's called the crap fest.
It's terrible.
The what fest?
The crap fest. It's a crap fest.
Crap fest? It's crap actually fest. A technical term. They actually call it the crap fest?
I'm calling it the crap fest. I'm
you're making up the term. Okay.
It's a crap fest.
It is. It's a paper towel tube, by the way.
Paper towel tube.
This crazy moves to, you know, when you get down to levels, just not only buy it, but blast it up, or when you're at a significant high level, it moves like we saw today, a 600 point day on the Dow. I mean, how many days we've seen with ranges of 500 or 600 points on the Dow? It's absurd.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. It either looks like a top or a bottom.
The problem is that you have a nice downtrend going on, and whenever all the people are on one side, you know how it goes, right? So we saw everybody, yesterday, we have a death cross, where the 50-day moving average moves below the 200-day moving average, and that is a sign of bearishness. Well, The only way it gets that way is if it's been trending that way, and you can see it from a mile away. We know it's a bearish market. It's like, hello? So stupid. But they're on the squawk. They're talking. There's such idiots on there. They bring on people that just have nothing better to do than to talk about 1.5 minutes worth of nonsense. Never understood it.
What, the squawk box?
Well, the whole CNBC and...
CNBC, yeah.
Bloomberg is a little bit better. They give you a little more time to talk. And they bring on people that have a lot more to say that's...
Yeah, they make it more hectic over at CNBC on purpose.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they do it on purpose to make you get jacked up.
Jacked up so you watch more?
Well, watch more, buy. I don't know.
Well, I mean...
It just seems like it.
For a while, they had the... when the markets were going south, they would have the market in turmoil specials going on. Market in turmoil. Watch tonight at 7. It's crazy.
It's a very big contrast. I mean, I think you're probably right. The Bloomberg people have kind of a more even keel. And then the Fox business, they don't even want to talk about the stock market, seems to me, only recently.
Well, everything's Biden's fault. Or everything was because how great Trump was.
It's all Biden's fault.
Everything's Biden's fault. Thank you, Joe Biden. The gas prices are up. It has nothing to do with anything but when you came into office. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that we had an unbelievable and unprecedented amount of fiscal and monetary stimulus that went on before you got in. No, that has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't raise rates because that's your particular job. No. I mean, the first 2 years of any presidency, I would suspect that a lot of that is carryover from the previous administration. Don't you think?
I don't know. I don't think necessarily, and I'll tell you why. I don't think when you walk in the office for the absolute first day, you just got there. You found the closet, put your shoes in there, and then you sit down to a mile high pile of executive orders.
Right.
And that's what Biden did when he first got in office. And it was a mile high. It was huge. He wasn't even reading these things. They just put him up there, cut down the Keystone Pipeline, stop the drilling, do bam, sign. So I'm not going to use that. You know, I think normally, yes, but nowadays with the extremism that goes on with the executive orders, I think it's Biden's fault.
Are we ever going to, all of this, wait, hold on, let's reel that backwards for a second. So what are you saying is that Biden is the reason for all of the inflation, the recent, let's start with this. Let's start with the end and bring it back. Is it because of Biden and maybe because, I'll throw this out there to you and I'll lob this to you, that there has been a weak administration and that is one of the reasons that we're seeing some of the things happen around the world?
I think a few of the things, yeah.
So if that's the case, the Russian invasion is probably due to the fact that there was no thought of any kind of backbone in the U.S. administration, therefore no repercussions or nothing significant. That was the theory going in. Therefore, all of that caused the latest round of stupid inflation that we've seen, right? Between wheat and corn and oil and natural gas and all that.
I'll go with nickel. I'll go with nickel.
Yeah, I'll say that I agree with that. Everything up until the war when that all happened, though, I think a lot of it was happening already. And I won't blame necessarily Biden.
I will say creeping inflation, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was creeping. It wasn't $7.50 a gallon.
No question. So this last month and a half is really what we're talking about. And a lot of that has to do with all the policies by the Fed that they didn't change anything. And then on top of it, some of the policies that Biden put in, like you mentioned, turning off or closing down the Keystone Pipeline and saying, oh, my God, you can't drill because it's bad for the environment and all this other stuff. That exacerbated all this other stuff. Right?
That's my theory, yeah.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Some other things that are going on and freaking people out around the world. Well, we have mentions of nuclear something or other. There's talk about that Russia bombed that nuclear facility. And then that Russia said, well, they're getting their nuclear defense ready. And then I heard two separate conversations about the idea that nuclear war or nuclear launch is no longer off the table as a possible outcome of a war. I'm like, who's talking like that?
Maniacs. Only an idiot would talk like that.
Right. So I'm thinking, oh, that's not a good thing to be talking about. And then they have doomsday clock.
Oh, the doomsday clock. That thing has been 1 minute to midnight for the last 10 years or 20 years.
1 minute to midnight.
Oh, it's up 3 more seconds. Doomsday clock is bogus.
So ridiculous. How do they even decide we're going to move it up? Oh,
they just do
seconds.
It to get some. We need some publicity, Bill. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's move the clock up another. It's almost already at midnight. We can't keep moving it up.
Why don't they just get Punxsutawney Phil? He only works 1 day a year. Get him to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the same thing, right? It's the same concept.
Yeah, it's the same exact thing. Yeah. You know, Canada has an animal. They have some nickname for it that does the same thing as Punxsutawney Phil.
Are they in sync?
I think they're on the same day. And, well, Canada's going to have slightly different weather. But I was reading some Canadian news stories back in February, I guess. And I ran into this other badger or something they have in Canada that's exact clone, exactly the same. The whole bit's the same.
But the hats, just, the tall hats and all that. And the long,
you got everything is almost an identical bunch of BS.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Well, there is no end in sight for the war. I've been listening to some fascinating scholars in the area of Russian military, Russian history, Russian politics. People, I was listening to one today. I had to turn it off. It was terrible. It was, who was it now? It was some major organization that I just couldn't listen to them. But I listened to a few that were PhDs or educators in the area of various things at pretty prestigious schools. And they had a lot of really interesting things to talk about. Many of them were talking about how there was a significant amount of, I guess they said that they were surprised that Russia is having such a difficult time with this whole war. And that they think that Putin is surprised at how difficult this whole war is. And they don't see any end in sight for the whole thing.
Ah, good. That means the end's in sight.
Possibly, yeah. You called that we saw 13, 14 days. We're at like day 20, so you're off a little bit.
I'm off quite a bit.
Yeah.
But this because of the quagmire. But I think this could be ending probably within the next week.
We'll see. I don't know.
They seem to be in agreement. The two sides are in agreement about what to do. That's not being reported. The mainstream media loves this war. And everybody, CNBC, everybody likes it. And so when a pullout happens, it's going to be a shock. Oh, we should have seen this coming. So it's going to be very interesting when it happens, and it will be soon.
There were wars that we've had before where they were totally and fully televised, where you saw each and every smart missile blowing up
something. Yeah, it's illegal, pretty much.
Yeah, we don't see it anymore. We just get like they put a law against showing dead people or something.
You
get the same exact hospital that it was bombed 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that hospital's been, hospital. It sounds like they bomb it every day with the same woman coming down in that watermelon blanket. just, I don't know why they keep doing it. I was joking about it on the last No Agenda show. Some people don't appreciate the humor, black humor. And then I went and watched Meet the Press that day. They did it again. Same thing. The same story about this hot maternity hospital. How many times are they? I mean, it happened very early, and this they talk about it like it's constant.
It's like they have people that they're sending out to get B-roll constantly, and they just can't get enough, so they almost stage it. That's what it looks like.
Well, that's what we used to do. And I think that's, if you were, people should go back and rewatch the movie Wag the Dog. Mm. Should go rewatch it. It's a fantastic movie and explains a lot of the world events. Mm. Have you ever seen it?
I have seen it. I don't remember. Was that something to do with a politician and what was actually making things happen?
So you haven't seen it for a while. You should go see it. It's Robert De Niro and a bunch of interesting people. It's okay. A very interesting movie.
Wag the Dog.
Yeah, Wag the Dog.
Wag the Dog. Available on VHS and Betamax. Okay.
It should be available on Netflix, yeah. And maybe unless it took it down.
I'm sure you can get it. I'm sure you can get it somewhere. YouTube probably has it. The Qs, the NASDAQ 100, officially in a 20% correction. I think it was from top to bottom. I looked at it as of today, and the low that we saw this week was 22%.
Nice.
Pretty significant.
That's a reasonably good correction.
Yep, and that's considering the fact that it's very top-heavy with the Microsofts and Amazons and all those glorious names in there. Yeah. Apple, Facebook is down. Do you know? I'm going to hold off of this, but I'm going to ask you. Just you can look if you want, but how much Facebook is off from top to bottom? We're going to get to that in a second. We're going to talk
I haven't noticed.
It's unbelievable. Corn, wheat, agriculture, oil all start this week off well below the highs. We saw big move. Oil, crude oil was as high as 130, miraculously right on the button of the Goldman Sachs upper end of their target. And then it sold off. It's at 95, 96 today. That's a big move.
Yeah.
25%. We're in big talks with China, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Brazil. And now there's big concern that we can get oil from some of these. But everybody's like, wait. Let me get this straight. We are not going to do business with a dictator in Russia, but we're going to work with Venezuela?
I know. Just a horrible person.
How does that work?
It's crazy.
It's insane. And now concern is growing that China may be helping Russia. And then if they do, and what are we going to do when the sanctions and the... It's exhausting. We're going to talk about another VIX dilemma that we had today, another issue that went on at the VXX. Every rally market update, every rally has been sold relatively. We are, and I wrote this earlier, this one line yesterday. So give me a little credit where I said epic short squeeze again. Looks like it's going to be coming up very soon. And that's probably going to be sold off too. We'll see. We have a big day tomorrow with the Fed coming out with their rate hike decision and maybe some updates. Everybody was talking about energy. Everybody on CNBC, Bloomberg, and Fox Business, and CNN, and anywhere you can. Oh, you got to get into them energy stocks. And I was in them early, of course. You know, that's what they say. I'm in them early. We have them all, and we're done. We're not selling, and then they take a big dump.
Yeah.
So it comes down.
I saw that.
You got to remember, everybody listening, you got to understand, these are contrarian signals, a lot of these things, where you have people that are all talking about the same exact thing. And when it gets very crowded, think of a boat. If everybody's on one side of the boat and it starts weighing down the boat, and what happens is one person decides, oh my gosh, it looks like it's going to tilt over and turn over and capsize, and they run to the other side because they're worried. Everybody runs to the other side. When that happens, the whole thing goes to kaput.
It flips.
Yep. So that's what's going on. We have the market psychology index getting pretty ugly. As of yesterday, it was a 15, the fear greed index put out by CNN. It's just something a lot of people follow.
Yeah, something. It's a joke, but yeah, it is funny though.
I went to buy a computer, just talking about the supply chain. I want a new Dell.
And yeah, I heard this. You mentioned this in an email.
Yep, 24th of June was the first date. I actually went back and reconfigured it. I must have had some.
Just kind go of, to Costco and buy right, something.
Exactly. But good news is that we got something coming next week.
Although Costco really nowadays only sells laptops.
Really? That's smart from a storage standpoint. Probably for a markup standpoint, too. I would think.
You should get yourself one of these super quiet machines. They cost a little more, but they're worth it. Very well made. The ones up in...
You're talking about for the studio or...
Yeah, for everything. Yeah, it's just fan. You know, it makes no noise. There's no fan. It's not a clunker. I mean, if there's a fan, it's you can't hear it. There's a company in Vancouver, Washington, called Silent PC. They have a couple of different names, but Silent PC, I think, is when we are finding them.
Interesting.
And they their machines are killer, and you can really customize them.
The box I have in here, we built, and. It's got one of these really crazy cases on it that's pretty quiet.
Yeah, I build most of my machines, but then every once in a while I get a quiet PC and one from these guys. And the build quality, because it's like I got wires sticking out every which way. I mean, the machine works great, but these wires are all, you know, trimmed to the right size. Right. And they're wrapped.
Right.
And then they're putting the sheath and it's shrunk down. And I mean, it's just the difference between a professional and amateur computer builder.
Right. What else do we have here? Senate passed a $1.5 trillion bill to keep the government open and to fund multiple millions and hundreds of millions to Ukraine, which was interesting. And then tonight, the Senate also passed the Keep Daylight Savings Time. No rollback.
Yeah, California's been trying to do this.
How is that going to work? Is that going to happen?
Well, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but it's going to happen. It has to. People are sick of this bull crap.
Didn't we originally try to get this done a few years ago and it failed somehow? I mean, who would be against this? Who possibly would be against this?
I have no idea, but somebody's against it.
It's like an AOC. This is not fair.
Maybe the Psychiatrist Association is against it.
It's not fair to Latin women. It's a racist because getting up early in the morning and, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm sure.
Now, there we go. Now we can get to some funny jokes.
Right. Of course. And Raskin withdraws nomination for the Federal Reserve Board as Manchin says, you know what? I just can't vote for her. It's kind of interesting when you have a situation where the Federal Reserve Board nomination is split party line.
Yeah.
That's how insane these politicians are.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy. So I mentioned the nuclear issue. We'll start off the session here hot. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Monday sounded the alarm over Russia raising the alert level for its nuclear forces after invading Ukraine, describing it as a bone-chilling development. The prospect of nuclear conflict, once unthinkable, is now back within the realm of possibility, Gutierrez told reporters, and repeated his call for an immediate cessation of hostilities. Can you believe that? The Secretary General of the UN is saying this.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be a huge boon for Lockheed Martin.
And you wonder why markets are a little skittish.
I guess, yeah.
First of all, let me just get something straight. If we have a nuclear event.
Yeah. You think there's going to be a market?
We're not really that concerned about the stocks.
The second target will be Manhattan, which will take out the stock exchanges. And the third target will be Chicago, which will take out the Chicago board. There wouldn't be any stock market. That's the least of your worries.
And the winter following is probably not going to have to worry about money as much.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Or crops.
Right. So you're just going to have to worry about somehow your skin peeling off. That's probably the biggest issue you'll have to deal with on a regular basis. The VXX, which is the short-term VIX proxy that was put out by Barclays, another one of these instruments that does some very wild things, usually terrible and crappy. Once again, we had a lot of news yesterday. Just yesterday, I was listening because I was driving my car, and I'm hearing some people on CNBC talking about how, well, the VXX is no longer going to be creating shares, which is a normal process for ETFs. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a real problem for this thing. And what they did was they talked about several different players on the tube talked about how they were doing a lot of put buying on this because it's just going to drop this thing like a rock. Well, opens up today, up 20%, halt. Up 30%, halt. Up 40%, halt. So much for those put options and the crap these guys are talking about. But it's all because there's less liquidity.
How can you be that wrong?
I think what's happened here on this was there was a short squeeze on this. The reality was if there's not going to be any more shares created and you're locked into the amount of shares that are out there, and a lot of people would be short this instrument because it's a crappy instrument to trade. And even if it does go up, it doesn't work for very long. So if you look at this and you look at the chart, even with the recent move upward, the fact is the thing is just terrible. So I think it was just market games. It did finish up only about 5 or 6%, but that's still in a market today that's up 600 points, and there was a drop in the VIX significantly to under 30. So kind of stupid. Fed days tomorrow. What's your thoughts on Jay Powell? What's he going to do? What's your insight? We want to know.
Nobody wants to know.
What do you mean? We don't want to. Everybody wants to know what you think.
Are they going to go up to
0.25, not 0.5.
No, I don't hope not.
Is he going to talk about anything else exciting as in?
Well, you know, I can't figure out what he's talking about half the time anyway.
Who is your favorite in recent memory Federal Reserve chair?
Well, I thought Yellen was funny. She was goofy looking and she's a midget. And it was just something hilarious about her. Let's start with my memory of these guys. When I was younger, Volcker, I think, was in power. And then
he was, in your words, he's a giant.
Yeah, that's true. And then came Goldblatt. What's his name? Goldspan. What's his name?
Goldwater. No, Greenspan.
Greenspan. Greenspan, who was the worst. I thought he was the worst.
Loved him.
And because he never said anything, he just said crazy stuff. He was like listening to an insane person. And then Bernanke, who should have been the best, screwed up and let he was responsible for a number of downturns. And he was, he was a student of the stock market crash in 1929. So always had high hopes for him. And then it turns out he was just full of himself. None of these guys are any good.
They're all the same. They don't see anything. They don't have any.
They're boring and boring duds.
They don't have vision. They when things are good, when they're pumping into the economy, because their job, as I see it, and what they do well at, is basically just pumping money into the economy in bad times. In good times, they have no idea how to pull back. They're so afraid. But they always go too far in either direction and screw things up. That is something that is going to be around forever.
I have to agree. They can't seem to get it together when it comes to actually understanding the mechanisms.
Terrible.
Everything is hindsight.
Of course. And then they try to project. They can't project a month out.
No. And especially all Monday morning quarterbacking. Right. They can't. Yeah.
Terrible. And especially in this environment, John, where there's an inability for anybody to really understand the economics due to all that's gone on. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So, all right, we have a quiz for John.
We have a quiz for John. Back to my paper towel holder.
Okay. How much is Facebook off its recent high that it hit in September of 2021? Give me a range if you'd like.
Well, I would say that, like everything else, is about 25 to 30% down.
51%.
So what was the high?
Oh, I can go back and look at it, but it was
400 and something.
100% higher, I guess, than it is now.
And it's now, is that
175, I think, or something like that?
It was a 190. It's at 190. Sounds like a buying up. Hey, as everyone knows who listens to me, I think Facebook is the future of publishing. And even though, they got nothing but issues and everyone hates them. And the government hates them because they're too Democrat. The government hates them because they're too Republican. The government hates them because the idiot Zuckerberg put a bunch of money illegally into some system that they should be arrested for, whatever that latest scandal is.
You mean the metaverse?
No. What was this thing that they invested in some Michigan or Wisconsin, the voting thing in Wisconsin. So then it, which was illegal. And I don't think jail time is really in his future, but should be. And but I still think that and the company was slammed to death because of what Apple and maybe Google did to keep them from using their numbers in some sort of way or other. And I don't care whether you stopped Apple. It wasn't dependent on Apple and Google. I think that was a huge blunder by the investors thinking that it was. It's the complete mechanism that is available internally at Facebook that makes it such a winner for advertisers.
The problem was that the phone that would allow for tracking data and information about all sorts of things that you do automatically be fed to the app, and then Facebook could take all that data, is now to a point unavailable.
Yeah, well, good. It doesn't, you know, it's overrated.
All right.
It's overrated. That data from the phone, that whatever you do this, you do that, is overrated.
But that's what they sold the advertisers on.
Well,
they built their business on that. And whether or not we believe if it's good or not, the fact is they built the whole damn business on it.
Yeah, that's what's hurting them. But they could restructure their pitch. Their pitch is still, hey, we have people and we know what they do, what they like to do, who their friends are and everything else. And we can sell very targeted advertising to these people. And you don't have to pay so much. And I don't know what's wrong with that pitch. This other idea was just like icing on the cake sales pitch was probably a stupid idea to sell, use that as the sales pitch. The sales pitch is that we can deliver. That's what it really is. We can deliver to you a customer that we know who it is. We know what they want. We know that they want your product.
You know, Facebook is only up 37%. I say only 37% over a 5-year period. That averages to about a 7% annual rate of return.
It sucks.
I mean, considering all that we've seen.
Yeah, well, considering what they have available to them and the fact that Google is way up and Google's, their whole sales pitch is pretty much, hey, you know, somebody's searching for a garden hoe. We can give them an ad, you know, put an ad right in front of them about garden hoes. Well, the same thing can happen at Facebook. And Google's like a shotgun approach. I mean, Facebook is more targeted. I really think Facebook is the future of media advertising.
Google's up 204% in that same period.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting. All right, another one.
Google's a black box, which is, and Facebook's is not so much. Okay.
How about the high to the low and the drawdown for Zoom Media?
Oh, that was, that's all over the place. Must be at least 50%.
Yeah, 75.
Yeah.
75% on Zoom, which still has, you know, really
that
good
might be
earnings.
Another good, interesting investment, because Zoom turned out to be a pretty good product.
It's a great product. They have good earnings, good growth.
I mean, we're using Zoom just for our audio instead of Skype.
And I pay for it. I pay for the Zoom.
It does a good job.
Yeah. So,
I mean, on No Agenda, we use something called CleanFeed, which is a professional system that is no better than this.
Right. I mean, here and there we get some dropouts, but you get that also on No Agenda.
Yeah, and that's mostly one of our connections.
Yeah. And by the way, No Agenda on Thursdays and Sundays, 12 o'clock, Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak deconstruct the news and give you all the things you need to know about what's going on around the world. Keep a watch on basing patterns. I think that's a big issue right now. There hasn't been any basing. Everything just keeps on going down. And if it does go up a little bit, then it goes down right afterwards. But when you start to see the basing pattern, what that means very simply is it just really can't get below a certain number. And it draws almost a horizontal line on the closes across. Watch for that. That's going to be very significant. And the opportunity then for the possibility of, if these things finally, if the seller stops selling, we have the opportunity to buy something here. So there you go. Let's see here. There's a fear greed index. See that? That was yesterday. Yesterday afternoon. It was a 15, which is extreme fear. One year ago, we were greed. These are usually contrarian indicators. And there's a whole description and base of how they calculate this. But you can see
extreme
that.
Fear.
You can see that 1 month ago, 1 week ago, previous close, extreme fear. So I could find you it know, where it is now. You,
this is the media doing this, making freaking people out.
They always do. Okay, here's the fear greed indicator. Today, it was yesterday 15. Today, it has not come. It is 19 today. So it's still in the extreme fear range. This whole wave calculator.
Well, that's a buying signal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's once it gets really low, yes. It's pretty low, 15. I've never seen them a little bit lower, but yeah, that's pretty bad. My indicators are not totally at the buy point yet. They're still in the point of trend will dominate, and the trend is down. So that's the dominant, obviously, point right now, and there's no getting out of it until we see that things shake out, which they haven't. Need like one more bout of pain. As
well, how about one more ending this stupid war in Ukraine?
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Now we have a hint, hint, and a wink, and a shove. Deutsche Bank has said it will wind down its Russian operations. A major U-turn that sent shares higher on Monday. It announced a release on late Friday. The German bank said it was joining a host of international peers and exiting the country in response to its invasion of Ukraine and resulting in operational restrictions. They said, quote, like some international peers and in line with our legal and regulatory obligations, we are in the process of winding down our remaining business in Russia while we'll help our non-Russian multinational clients in reducing their operations. So there you go. Good boys and girls. Nice, nice.
Well, I think that they're doing Russia a favor.
Getting out?
Well, I mean, Deutsche Bank, these guys are trouble.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point. Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse. And
yeah, both of them. Get out.
If war wasn't enough, we have China. COVID count is up big. Hong Kong is seeing record numbers of something. Here, since the war, have you noticed there's no COVID?
No, it's gone away.
It's fantastic.
Can't get COVID.
It's unbelievable. It's like, China is shutting down, locking down areas again. Big problem for prices and supply chain because they are the start in many situations for supply chain.
They are the supply chain.
That's correct. They are the beginning, though. So this is going to be great for this transition to selective isolationism. We need to bring manufacturing back home.
That'll never happen.
That's what the big talk is going to be. You see, look what's happening.
Talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, this again, I said this on the last show, and it's always annoys me, which is we're going to start making chips here.
Yeah.
Which is where we always made chips. But then all of a sudden, these guys are cheaper. You know, the cheap, cheap, cheap thing. They finally go overseas for a lot of this stuff and take our technology with them. I think it's shameful. But it takes years to get a fab up. Years.
Right. And they can't just do a little bit of it. It has to.
No, you have to do the whole thing. It's right. Billions of dollars. It's ridiculous.
And Shenzhen, the biggest city in the manufacturing hub of Guangdong province, told all businesses not involved with essential public services to suspend production or have employees work from home for a week starting Monday. For a week. I don't understand.
The way they operate in China, they can't stay at home and work. There's no time to work there.
But what does a week do? That's the incubation point. What's the point of that? If you want to do it, stay home for a month.
I'm telling you, there's a scam going on. They want to jack up their prices.
That could be. Elon Musk is at it again. He said two things. First, on Sunday, of course, you do it outside of market hours. He said his rocket company, SpaceX, are facing significant inflationary pressures in raw materials and logistics. Now, what's interesting is that they announced a secondary, within a week, two price increases on Teslas. And of course, not to mention that Elon Musk also challenged Putin to a fist fight, and the winner would get Ukraine.
This guy's a character.
People are getting a little pissed off. They're like, why does he have to insert himself in every single horrific event?
What he does.
Remember
years and years ago when there was that crazy situation? It was in Asia somewhere where these kids were stuck in a cave that the water came up and they're all going to drown.
Right. And he had to call the guy the pedophile because he was mad.
Yeah, he called the guy out who was going to save the kids and got in the news and everyone condemned him.
Yeah, it's just, that's
insane. Well, you know, if the media it's the media's fault. You know, if you, there's a million people saying crazy things. Why are they picking this up?
They got, because basically he
they
has
love
like,
Elon
he has
Musk.
A direct line to the media. That's what he has.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. More inflation. Uber is adding a surcharge at fares and deliveries in the U.S. and Canada in response to the surging gas prices. Riders taking Uber trips will pay a fee of 45 to 55 cents per trip. I don't see how that works. But Uber Eats deliveries will include a 35 to a 45 cent surcharge. So if you go for a long ride, you're going to only pay 45 cents surcharge? I guess it's the short rides that are going to get really clipped, right? The 2 mile.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, if you got gas at $5 a gallon, it costs you 25 cents a mile. Just to go from A to B, they're going to have to do it by mile. They can't do it this way.
Crazy.
Now it's up $7.50 in some places in the San Francisco Bay Area. Well, actually, it's Mendocino County's got, I think, $8 gas.
Wow. That'll come down. I mean, gas is down 30. It'll lag, but it'll come down.
No, it always does.
Yeah. Let's see.
It'd be fun to see it at 10 bucks, but it's not going to happen.
So much fun. So much fun. So the signs are all screwed up. Yeah. Some more stuff that we need in life. Single stock ETFs.
What the heck? What? Mm-hmm. Why don't you just buy the stock or buy a put or a call?
Direction funds. Well, because I'll tell you why. Because they could charge you 1.5% on this. So they filed for, the direction funds filed for 24 ETFs based on 8 specific stocks. Amazon, Meta Platforms of Facebook, Alphabet, Microsoft, Netflix, NVIDIA, Apple, and Tesla. Known for its leverage and inverse ETFs, the firm plans to offer funds that double the downside, double the upside, and invert the performance for each stock. Now, if you want to double the upside, you can leverage or buy double the shares. Or, as you said, you can buy options.
Yeah, you can really leverage that.
What's the point?
It's for dummies.
I mean, I see how this, I don't see, well, and they're also going to be, the thing about the direction funds, they are daily reset. So that's an issue also, where the daily returns may not actually yield the returns that you'll get if you held onto the stock or shorted the stock or leveraged the stock, because they reset it every day, rebalance it. So Nickel, you mentioned that earlier. Chinese tycoon Zheng Guangda has found a way to bail his company out of a crisis after his bet of nickel backfired. So he's either had to pay an outstanding position, of which he had a short position on this guy. He had a short position on nickel.
Why?
Because he was hedging it, I guess, against something. And it's estimated to be about $8 billion. But he'd have to have a sufficient deliverable nickel to repay it in kind. So he's going to
fail. Wow, I got some investment advice for him. Short gold.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, pretty
but,
bad.
But Beijing may come to the rescue. They're going to let it just... nickel's going to be open up tomorrow for trading again. It's been...
this will be fun to watch. It'll be open for an hour.
Well, they tightened the ranges, too. It's like a 5% from the last closing price that it can move. So it can't be just, and the London, the LME, the London Exchange, the Mercantile Exchange has not ever had this on in its, I don't know, 162 year existence. The need, even in the craziest of times, to have any kind of restrictions like this. They had halts and things like that if things got out of hand way outside the range. But they're afraid this can get really crazy. So. EV news, luxury maker, car maker Bentley.
By the way, another good opportunity for Putin.
Yeah, what would that be?
Short nickel and end the war.
Short nickel and end the war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Make a bundle.
Oh.
Fantastic idea. I like it. We have an unretiring first. Quarterback Tom Brady's 45
never
years
really
old.
Never really retired, I don't think.
Make it a comeback.
He just said he was going to.
So the guy, two things. First of all, he must have lost a ton of money in NFTs, I figure. Secondly, that poor fella who bought the last throne.
Oh yeah, the football
for $500,000, and then on top of it, the poor quarterback who thought he was going to play on the Bucs.
Yeah.
It's just rude. Rude.
When are you going to retire again?
Yeah, next week. Luxury car maker Bentley unveils plans on Tuesday to build new electric cars. Let's see, each and every year, five different models, five different plans starting in 2025. As they had their annual profits skyrocket. So what they're going to do is totally change what they're doing because they had such a good year.
Yeah, you see a lot of Bentleys out there. Good-looking car.
Yeah, and now they're going to be... They're going to be gasoline-powered. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Can I take away some of their...
Wells Fargo, here we go again. Wells Fargo rejected half its black applicants in mortgage as the mortgage refinancing boom went on. Why don't they just shut that company down?
There's supposed to be some bank that's in big trouble, and I always keep thinking it's Wells Fargo. But it's never, it's just coasts.
They just come right through everything. They are just like Teflon.
Yeah, the Teflon Bank.
That's what it is. We have a recession or inflation, or we have stagflation. Goldman Sachs sees U.S. recession risk now as high as 35%. It cut its forecast for the end of the year. This is how things go. Here's my forecast for the end of the year, as everything I see it. It's not playing out the way I think. I'm going to change it. That's what they do.
Yeah, do it on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm. Recession odds in line with the 20 to 35% implied by the yield curve. And high oil and agricultural prices are going to drag on disposable income.
Well, that's probably going to be true. Yeah, the problem with the oil thing being out of control like this, it really doesn't adjust overnight.
No, it doesn't.
Although it did ramp up pretty quick.
It ramps up. Prices get high. It takes a little while for the gas stations to get the prices up. And takes even longer for them to come down. That's why everybody wants to be in the energy stocks, because they have the profit potential, unless they hedged it wrong or did something odd, for a long period of time. Outward. So I have a question for you. With all that's going on with the wheat and the corn and the concerns about what's happening in the invasion of Ukraine, where millions of tiny sprouts that are merging with the winter wheat now in the coming weeks, the farmers are going to have to get these crops. I mean, are we going to have problems with food? Or is Europe going to have problems with, or somewhere have problems with food? Because now they're short of fertilizer, pesticides, herbicides. How's this going to play out? It's one thing.
Well, Russia's not short of anything. They got they've got the fertilizer and they've got the wheat.
Right. And they do. I'm talking about the rest of Europe.
Oh, I don't know. It's just going to, I think the prices will just be jacked. Maybe it'll set off some sort of a European recession. While we, as usual, coast through it.
Yeah. Europe always seems to be in the worst place. It is not.
Well, they never follow our lead. I think we're a bunch of jerks. And, I mean, I think the best example is that was their laughing and pointing the finger at us during the housing crisis of 2007 through 2009, until they looked in their own portfolios and saw that we've already suckered them into buying all these bad vehicles. Mm-hmm. And then they realized then they were screwed, and they've been screwed ever since.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just hoping that doesn't come to that. You remember the guy named Andrew?
Well, you know, looking at the dollar, people say, oh, the dollar's weak. The dollar is strong.
Very strong. And it's been the same.
I mean, it's almost, what's the euro? The euro currently, I think it's down to a $1.09 or something. At least it was the last time I looked. And I mean, it's way
$1.10.
I got $1.960.
All right, so I'm rounding. Sorry.
And the Japanese $1.18, and the British pound is $1.30, which is way down. So no, this is not going the way they want.
Nope. I mean, a year ago it was $1.18, $1.19. It's only 8%.
Well, remember last time I went to Europe, I think it was $1.25 or more. Right.
Yeah, in 21, it was $1.25 and 21.
Horrible.
Yeah. Let's see. Citron Andrew Left, the famous short seller who shorted GameStop and started a lot of that going on. January 21. I just found out about this last week, and I thought it was really interesting. No longer publishing short seller reports. which made him famous. He got terrible personal threats.
I bet he did.
Yeah, poor guy.
Well, you think somebody we could do to keep publishing the reports in some sort of anonymous way?
Yeah. COVID's back, Deltacron, with the genes of Delta and Omicron, I found hybrid version of coronavirus, dubbed Deltacron, has been identified at least 17 patients in a whopping 17 patients in the United States and Europe. Who just came down with COVID? Oh, Obama.
Yeah, Obama.
Obama and Harris's husband.
Oh.
Tonight, but she's fine.
Yeah, they're all fully vaxxed.
Yep,
should have gotten it.
But she's fine. But due to an abundance of caution, she will not be attending a White House event this evening. They have new dogs that will sniff out the Deltacron. How do you train a dog to do that? That's amazing.
Dogs are actually dogs in their nose is just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Let's see here. Another thing, I don't understand this. This is really interesting. I thought the European Union has banned top credit rating firms from rating Russia's sovereign debt and the country's companies as part of the latest sanctions. They say the latest sanctions will further contribute to ramping up economic pressure on the Kremlin and cripple its ability to finance its invasion of Ukraine. Are you allowed to say the word cripple? I thought it was like one bad word. They have been coordinated with international partners. So to back it up, let me just rewind this now. The EU is banning credit rating firms from rating Russia's sovereign debt. Now, if they can't rate it, how do you know if it defaults or if it's where it is? And what's the point of that?
You're better at answering a question like that than I am.
I don't really understand.
It makes no sense.
Don't we want the credit rating firms to give us the insight of what... First of all, we're banned, and the sanctions and everything bans us from buying it. But okay, let's move on from that.
Yeah, there you go.
But if they were unbanned, or we were unbanned or able to buy their bonds, and we don't have it, well, of course, then... there's a problem because you don't have no rating and therefore you can't buy it for certain portfolios. So there's sanctions there. But the people that own it and eventually would like to sell it can't either. And that may be hurting people in the EU or otherwise around the world that hold the credit. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I don't get it. What else do we have? Bitcoin. I canceled the Bitcoin. I was bored of the Bitcoin crypto stuff. Nice job by our friend, but did you get anything out of it?
No.
No. Bitcoin.
Not a big Bitcoin. Fan.
Yeah. Love the show. How about donations? For example, we talked about how we have Zoom that we pay for. We have other things like servers and we have developers and we have all sorts of things like gifts and giveaways that we're going to talk about in a minute. This is your chance to step up and to really be a part of all this. Many of you do. For those of you that don't, you can go over to DH Unplugged and you can just simply click on the donate button and have at it and give to your heart's content. So thank you very much in advance for all that you do for us. Hopefully what you could do is show us that you're thanking us for what we do for you.
Yeah, it would be nice.
How's that for an ad lib?
It's good.
Yep, thanks. So just as a reminder, the Close to the Pin is still open right now for uranium. Let me see when it's open. It's going to be open for another 3 days, 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 39 seconds. So you can get your guesses in of URA is the symbol for uranium. It is the Global X Uranium ETF. And if you do win, you will get a T-shirt and a couple other goodies, plus entry into the Close to the Pin Cup at the end of the year that we do, and there's all sorts of great prizes and notoriety, and you're just awesome. Awesome. Limericks, we don't have any. Anything else you want to talk about? I shot my load here.
No, we can talk about the stocks that we're looking at, your old stock list. It would be a good time to do it.
Here we go. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk.
along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures.
So I noticed something I want to tell you. The Medtronic that we put on there to almost 2 years ago to the date when the global economy was crashing. And so it was up 38%, which is good. One of the things I noticed is we don't have a stop on there. That's why there's no stop. We said we're just going to let it go. So it may have stopped out on the normal, but back then we're like, the hell with it. Let it go.
Well, what do you want to do?
We don't have to change anything. I'm just letting you know.
It'll be on here forever then.
Pretty much. That's why it is.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll just leave it on and follow it because it's kind of interesting. I've always thought Medtronic over $100 is always a sign that the market was kind of smoking.
Yeah.
And it always drops. Medtronic is one of these stocks, ever since they first came out, was a stock to follow. And then over $100. And then the other one was my all-time favorite, International Rectifier.
Are they still around? I don't know.
I have no idea. I haven't seen it. If they were still around, there'd be people touting it. And I haven't seen that. So
let's see.
There's also, I think, a third company that it was.
I don't think so.
TriPath, or was not TriPath, but Tri.
IRF.
There's something. And then there's also some. There's about five of these old.
TriQuint? No, I don't think so. I think it's private now, or somebody bought it.
Yeah, no. It's a shame. The good old days.
Yep. The other thing was your FVC Bank Corp got slammed today, down 0.24%.
Oh, no.
Yes, it's terrible. It's up 103%. It doesn't move from there. It's like somebody stuck it there, stuck a pin in it, and doesn't want to move.
Yeah.
You know?
I should look at the chart on that thing. I haven't looked at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just have to get to July, and it'll be there for 2 years.
Yep. And then I put gold on that long ago also in 2020. It's finally
But that thing's a dud.
It was almost green today. It was so close. It's down 0.02. You know, parcels we put out in 2020 also in July, in November, that's up 22%, which again, doesn't seem that great.
Not for the right reasons, but yeah.
Kellogg up 3%, Hudson Executive, Liberty Media. The other one is Universal Logistics had a nice move up 15.2%. DWAC, I gotta look at that. I think that's closed. Let me just look at this.
You think it closed out?
Yeah, it's closed out. It's definitely closed out. I gotta highlight
that's
this. Let me highlight this in yellow.
It's doubling down.
Well, it was
that.
66 or something like that today.
Oh, geez.
It went down again. But you're closed out now, down 7.5%. So this morning I looked at this and I thought it would be really interesting to look at. One of the things, I've talked about this before, but many of the internet and software and technology related stocks of China have been just gutted. From Tencent.
Yes,
to
I think
Alibaba.
There's some very interesting opportunities.
Unbelievable. So it was down again today. Yesterday was down 10%. It was down another 5%. It's straight line down. The Hong Kong index was down 5% last night. Not tonight. Last night. It was down 5% the night before, 6%. Really bad mojo going on there because of the lockdowns and all that. So I said, you know what? This got to be a point. And I don't know exactly where it is and how much further this can fall because things can happen, especially if sanctions go on. But I said, we got to maybe take a stab at this K-Web, which is the internet shares in China that holds the Alibabas, the Tencents, and all these names in there. So it turned out it was a big turnaround today, up 4.5% from down pre-market, down 5%. So pretty good. So I'm going to add that to my list for this week.
I have two stocks.
Okay.
One we've had on here before, and it didn't perform as well as I'd hoped. Which is Prophase, P-R-P-A-H. P-R-P-H. And this is interesting because they've announced a dividend.
Oh.
It's way down from when we did. Last time I think we did it at 10 and it went to 16 and then Kit just blew up. Mm. It's announced a dividend and the CEO has come out with an announcement that they're going to blow the doors off the place with the next earnings report.
All right. So I'm going to put this down as your thesis announcements.
Announcements, yes.
A-double-N.
The main thing is that they make these COVID tests.
Oh, yeah. We need those.
And the COVID test, the stuff that they sent out, the government sent out, mostly made in China. We can't have that.
I got those.
We had to have COVID tests made in this country.
So weird. So weird.
I thought it was very weird. And this guy, these guys are in the right position to benefit. I don't know exactly why they didn't benefit already, but okay. And the other one, this is a lark. It's one of these acquisition companies I kind of I'm looking at called Zenite Acquisition Corp.
What's the symbol?
ZNTEU.
The U on the back. ZNTEU. U is usually unlisted, but okay. Oh, units. It's units on this one. I wonder what that means.
I don't know. It's one of these screwball companies that, you know, it's asking to be reverse merged. It's one of these weird companies that could become all kinds of different things if they get lucky. And it's also going to be supposedly, if you look at their website, they're going to list on a New York Stock Exchange through a business combination with Zenite Acquisition.
Zenite Acquisition Units. No chart available. It's gone from, it looks like it's waiting for something.
Yeah. Maybe we can't buy it, but I think it can.
You can buy it.
And it's going to be merged with a Eve, the Embraer, you know, that
Embraer?
Plane maker.
Embraer.
Yeah, Embraer.
Uh-huh.
Eve. It's there's something screwy's going on, and it just looks suspicious.
I'll give you the lowdown on this. First of all, it was founded in 2020 in Beechwood, Ohio. It has a total of 3 employees. No revenue. That's all I can get on it. But if it does something, it could definitely move. So we'll put it in there.
Yeah, and if you look at the guys in the senior executive team, it's more than 3 guys. It's 7, actually. And they have, they look like a bunch of guys who would put something together. Have that look. I can't explain it.
They got the look. I've seen it before. All right, well, we're gonna end the show right there, and then meet back up in 7 days exactly.
Yeah,
and there
sounds like a winner.
There we go. All right, I'll see you again next week.
All right, give me a call.
All right, well,
bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.